Hi, this is Sean Benson from Harvest Church in Warrensburg, Missouri. I want to thank you for joining us for this week's podcast. For more resources, log on to harvestwarrensburg.com.
Well, man, happy Palm Sunday to you. Happy Palm Sunday. Today is the day where Christians around the planet, thank you so much, appreciate that. Christians around the planet are celebrating together the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. He was headed in for what ended up being the very last Passover feast before we enter into a whole new season of the sect of Christianity coming online. And so this is what we celebrate this Palm Sunday, Jesus coming in on a donkey, triumphal as a king, in procession right to the cross, where he absolutely and radically changes everything, right? I got to hear some amens on that, right? Oh my goodness. On this journey, we've been, this journey to the cross, we said initially this was a three-week journey to the cross, you know, that we've been discovering what is the gospel, what is this true gospel, what did Jesus accomplish, and what is this good news. Last week we talked about how it's the good news, not of an event, the death, burial, and resurrection, or the death of somebody, that event itself, it's not necessarily what we're after, but that we decided the good news is actually the good news of the results of that event, right? Remember that? We talked about that the last week. I'm not seeing nearly enough people shaking. I need some feedback. I'm getting tired of seeing empty seats and no head bobs. I'm gonna need you guys to help me out a little bit more today as we get started. Okay, what did Jesus accomplish? That's the real question. And that's what we're hoping to excavate over the next couple of weeks as we land at Easter. You know, what did Jesus accomplish? What did he accomplish on that cross? And last week we touched on the definition of salvation. And inherent in that definition were some of the benefits of this gospel, some of the benefits of the cross. And but we know that there are a number of things that are yet left unturned, and we're going to try to go after those over the next couple of weeks, if that's all right. A number of things. But so why is this so important? Why is it so important that we really define this gospel? I'll tell you, first of all, the first reason, for me anyways, is it comes from a place of compassion for you, and passion for Jesus. So my compassion for you, and well, for really in both cases, it's I want you to get everything that Jesus paid for. Right? I want you to get everything that Jesus paid for. And if you don't know the gospel, if you don't know the good news of what was accomplished in his death, burial, and resurrection, you won't know that you need to contend for something, because we know this from last week, that the gospel or the benefits of the gospel, any benefit of the gospel, is not automatic. It's apprehended by faith. And if you don't know there's a benefit, you're not going to lay a hold of it by faith. Take salvation, for example. You know, Jesus died, the Bible says he died for the whole world. By the way, that should bounce anybody's idea that he died specifically for some kind of elect. That's not what the Bible says. He died for absolutely everyone. He wishes that none should perish, so there's that. He died for the entire planet, but that doesn't mean that the entire planet gets saved, right? Because the benefits of the cross are apprehended by faith. They're released by God through grace and apprehended by faith. That means it was a gift given by God that we sink our teeth into. In the case of Jesus, we actually give up our lives and we choose to place our trust completely in him. See, there's a responsibility that we have. There's something that we have to do. We apprehend it by faith. You can't apprehend something if you don't know it's available to you, right? Somebody could send you a gift for Christmas and it could be literally sitting out on your porch. And the guy who paid for it is saying, hey, he's calling you on the phone. I sent you the gift. Didn't you get it? You're like, no, I checked the mailbox. I don't have a gift here. I don't know. Well, it's been sent. I've already paid for it. I've already redeemed it. It should have come to you. I've looked at the tracking number. It's already been released to you. Well, if you don't know that the package is on the porch, you'll never go out there and apprehend it. You'll never go and actually open it up and then benefit from that which was already purchased to you. All of the benefits of the cross come via grace through faith. All of the benefits. The second reason it's so important for us to excavate the truth of what the gospel is because the Apostle Paul put such incredible stress on it. In fact, the Apostle Paul goes and strongly rebukes the Galatian church because they were, he says, distorting this gospel message. Listen to this scripture out of Galatians chapter 1, starting in verse 6. He's so strong with them. He says, "I'm amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel." Well, it's not really another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 8, "But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what you, to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed." Can you believe this language? Verse 9, "As we have said before, I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you have received, he is to be accursed." That is incredible to me that the Apostle Paul would speak like that to the Galatians. It's incredible to me that he's looking at, like, so what we preach, like what was downloaded to me, this is the Apostle Paul from heaven, and what we then gave to you, he said, cannot be distorted. Let those who are distorting it be accursed. This is incredibly strong language coming from the Apostle Paul, who says we ought to love everybody, right? So this immediately elevates the significance of what they did, of what the download was that Paul was operating from. In other words, what the specific gospel was. It elevates that to significant importance for us. The Apostle Paul could not have said it any stronger. What I find ultimately interesting here as well is that the Apostle Paul said that even if an angel came and shared with you something other than what they had already spoken, something other than the gospel that had already been released, let them be accursed. Now, how could he say something like that? Well, we know, right? We know that the enemy comes disguised as an angel of light, right? We think maybe a demon shows up, they're going to be, you know, with like horns and flames of fire. Like that would be obvious to all, but that's not usually how they show up, right? They usually show up as a deceiving spirit. Well, you can't be deceived unless you're buying into the lie that's being presented, right? This is where the Mormon religion falls short, by the way. Now, if you recall in history, Joseph Smith has an encounter with an angelic being who presents to him a different gospel to that which we find in the New Testament uttered through Paul, right? That makes the Mormon religion a deception. You know what else is a deception? Dumbing down the original gospel. See, that's also a deception, because if the enemy can't stop the gospel from going forth, then his second tactic to you is to begin to distort the gospel and to take what was actually released to Paul and somehow dumb it down to where it's actually rendered ineffective for you as a believer. And here's what I mean by that. If all of the benefits of the cross are actually relegated to some time in the future, a time which we usually identify as when we die and go to heaven, if all of the benefits of the cross are relegated to some future time, then we're not going to live, we as believers are not going to live right now in the victory that Jesus Christ paid for us. We're just going to continue to slog around and try to be good people. And, you know, maybe we'll try to get some people saved, but saved unto what? You have no more victory than the world does over sin or sickness or death or pain or misery or anything. I have no more victory than anybody else. You're just another Joe buying your time until you get to heaven. See, if the enemy can cause you to believe that, the body of Christ will be rendered completely ineffective in this mission that we have to preach the gospel of the kingdom to all of creation. We'll be rendered completely ineffective in that mission. I hope that's making sense to you so far this morning. First thing I want to draw to your attention regarding this gospel is that Jesus came and actually reversed the sin and the destruction that came via sin from the first Adam and his utter failure over the human race. Jesus actually, okay, see, the Bible calls him the second Adam. Why does it call him the second Adam? It calls him the second Adam because he was coming to fix everything that the first Adam screwed up. Except this one being God incarnate, he did a pretty darn good job, right? He actually reversed the curse that was released on you and on creation the moment he raised from that grave. That's part of the good news of this work that he did. Part of the good news is that the curse that was released on the earth actually has been alleviated by the blood of Christ. I tell you, that's extremely good news, because all the destruction and all of the pain and misery and sin working and toiling by the sweat of my brow and all of these things, they all came because of this failure of this one man, Adam. But Jesus has come to reverse absolutely everything. Listen to this scripture out of Romans chapter 5 and verse 17. For by the transgression of one, he's talking about Adam, death reigned through the one. And obviously, we all know as Adamic sin that we're born into his lineage, we're born into sin. That's what it's talking about there. Death reigned through the one, that one being Adam. Much more, those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, now listen, will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Now, this is so incredibly significant this morning, and it's the second point that we come to. We're asking this question, what did Jesus accomplish on the cross? Here he's declaring to you that you Christians are no longer a victim. You're no longer a victim to this thing. The curse has been unfolded. Now, does that mean that all of the waves of life are going to immediately still and like you're not going to have, hey, everything's going to be just great. Oh, just get saved and boy, everything is perfect. I've got money and food and resources and my relationships are here. See, pay for all those things, but it's not exactly automatic because it has to be apprehended by faith, right? So the waves are still going to come. They're going to crash against you. But what you have now that you didn't have before is that you serve a God who's for you, and you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. What does that mean? That means when I get knocked down, I get back up again. Is that a song, right? Somebody needs to be better at singing than me, because we have some songs there. When I get knocked down, I get back up again. Come on, that's what Jesus gave to you. When you get knocked down, you get back up again, because our God works all things for good, and he's not done yet when you've gotten knocked down. You don't stay on the ground anymore because you have not been defeated. Because the victorious blood of Christ has been spilled over your life, and you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. It means that you're now the head and not the tail. That means he's going before you and he's coming along and girding behind you. It means that you are blessed that he's poured out favor upon you. It means you're absolutely unstoppable in Jesus' name. Literally, you can do everything that you set your mind to, and the limitless resources of the kingdom have been laid up at your disposal for you to preach this gospel of the kingdom and to declare on earth as it is in heaven. See, Jesus never calls us to pray a prayer that he's not prepared to answer. Think about that for a minute. See, Jesus won a significant victory on that cross that day. It's not just something relegated for some future time. This is a benefit that you get to access right now. You are no longer a victim. Verse 18. So then as through one transgression, this is again talking about Adam, there resulted condemnation to all men, even so through one act of righteousness, there resulted justification of life to all men. This is why we have the ability to reign through Christ in this life. We have the ability to reign. See, Jesus Christ, when you're on the sea of humanity and the waves were crashing against you, think of the story of Peter walking on the water. Like when we're looking around, the waves of life were crashing in before, by analogy. We were sinking, like literally overcome by what was happening around us, overcome by our sin. But Jesus, see Jesus, because of what he did on that cross, he's calling you to a completely different level. He's calling you to walk on top of that water. He's calling you to victoriously reign in life through him. And this scripture gives us the reason why that's possible. The reason why it's possible is because he's justified you. He's acquitted you of all of the charges. See, that's what that word means. It means that you stood before the judge, Father God, and he had his gavel in hand, and Jesus said, I will take that penalty. Wait, that's my penalty. Yeah, it was your penalty, but somebody took it instead. And Father God waved his gavel, boom! And he said, you're free to go. What does that mean? What do you mean I'm free to go? It means you're released from this sentence, this penalty of sin. You're released from the bondage of sin. You're free to go just as if you had never made a crime in the first place. This is why we get to reign in life through Christ. This is a significant gospel. I'm going to try not to read the whole chapter, though I recommend you do Romans chapter 6. It's absolutely extravagant. We come to the third benefit that we find in the cross. Of course, I'm not going to be able to hit them all today. We're just really covering the surface, hoping to open the box so that you can see that what he did was more than just get you to heaven. See, he took your sin upon himself, and he released to you a brand new nature. See, when we, by analogy, when we go into the baptismal tank, we're washed completely of all of our sin. And when we come up out of that tank, we're born again, washed completely. His righteousness on me like a robe, washing me white as snow. Empowered to look like him, empowered to walk like him. And I'm born again, no longer prone to sin, no longer a sinner, but rather with a nature that's prone to righteousness, now a saint. This is how Romans says it. Again, I'm not going to read the whole chapter. Romans chapter 6, verse 18, just to give you an idea. And having been freed from sin, he's talking about you, believers, you became slaves of righteousness. You became slaves of righteousness. Do you see that? Remember, we've talked about this. You're no longer a slave to sin. See, that's a benefit of the cross. It doesn't have the ability to master you any longer. You don't have to obey sin's lusts any longer. But now it says, I have a new master. See, he's my new master. Now I obey the dictates of righteousness. I've been given a new nature. I'm no longer a sinner, but I'm a saint. First Peter hits it from a slightly different angle. Chapter 2, verse 24. And he himself bore our sins, talking about Jesus and his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. I'm personally fascinated that Peter chose to use this phrase when talking about my sin and your sin. By his wounds you were healed. In context, he's talking about sin. Why? Why would that be? Interestingly, out of the 29 usages of this word in the New Testament, in the NASB, the New American Standard Version, this is the only time that this word to be healed was rendered to something that was other than your physical body, than being physically healed. There are some references to demons being cast out, but as we talked about last week, I think it was last week, we know that demons often manifest in ways of illness, spirit of infirmity, the Bible calls it. And so it affects your body. And so Jesus would often say, you know, you've been healed when he cast a demon out, because their bodies subsequent to the demon leaving would be restored as well. So this is the only example that we have in all of the New Testament of this word healed being used to describe what Jesus did as it relates to sin. Now, why would that be? I think it highlights this for us. I think it highlights that you and I, when sin was our master, that we were broken. Something on the inside of us was broken. I mean, has anybody ever felt like that? Have you ever had one of those weeks where it seems like everything's going wrong, the world is against you, or maybe relationships, you know, aren't working out, and you feel like you're the center of it somehow, And you have a moment of contemplation and you're just like, I'm broken. Something on the inside of me is broken. Something's not working right. I'm not getting the results for the effort that I'm putting out, and I don't know, like, something is broken. I've got good news for you. If you feel like that today, Jesus died for you. Jesus died for you. See, Jesus carried those wounds for you so that you no longer have to carry them. That's why we do inner healing ministries. That's why it's so important to us. Because the work that Jesus did on the cross, it was a holistic work. It touches sin and the effects of sin in my life, reversing those things, giving me the opportunity to walk in a profound place of freedom. A profound place of freedom. We see that here as it's rendered. Jesus, he died for you. We also know this 1 Peter is a passing reference to Isaiah 53. Happens to be one of my favorite Old Testament scriptures. I feel like I say that every Sunday because I find another one. I'm like, yes, God, that's a good one. That's one of my favorites. But this is genuinely one of my favorites just because it's so packed. It's a scripture that is undeniably a description of the cross and what Jesus would do. This is what we call the atonement. It's an atonement scripture, this Isaiah 53. I want to draw your attention to the end of verse 5. Notice the overlap, and it says, and by his scourging we were healed. See that there at the end? In 1 Peter 2 and 24, it says, by our wounds you were healed. The word that's wound, rendered wound there, is actually the wound that comes from being scourged or from being beaten to death. You know, and so we see the overlap, and scholars would agree this is an undeniable quote of Isaiah 53 referencing verse 5. I want to draw your attention to a couple of things that are outlined here, looking first at verse 4. Notice it says, and our sorrows he carried. Our sorrows he carried. This is a specific reference to the emotional pain, the wounds of our heart that we carry, wounds that result in bitterness, wounds that result in addiction, wounds that result in all kinds of sinful expression, and adultery, and idolatry of various sorts. It's this, the wounding of the heart, the anguish of when sin is realized, it's this bitterness as we talked about. It's the depression of the soul. How many of you know depression's not from God? It's demonic in nature. That's not coming from our Father, in whose presence there's joy, and who the manifestation of the kingdom is joy. That depression's not coming from God, it's coming from the enemy. But what we find out here in verse 4 is that Jesus actually carried your emotional pains. He carried your emotional woundings. He carried them on the cross so that you no longer have to carry them. Amen. See, this is another benefit of the cross, that you would never apprehend by faith if you didn't know it was available to you. See, Jesus paid to give you, to release to you everything that you need for life and for godliness, everything. That means that addiction no longer holds a strength in your life. Stand on the benefit of the cross because he carried that wound in your heart. He carried it on the cross and he buried it in the grave. And I'm telling you, that thing didn't come out of the grave. It didn't come out of the grave. It's left there. That anger that you still, that still creeps up, and you don't even understand where it comes from. You haven't even identified the hot buttons in your life. Jesus carried that anger and he buried it in the ground. He died for that to release you into a place of freedom. Those addictions that you carry no longer have a stronghold on you. You have everything that you need on the inside of you to say no and to walk in a new way. That's why Jesus declared over everybody that came to him, go and sin no more. It wasn't like a trite dismissal, like just a careless act. It's just, you know, brushing these people off. No, he was releasing grace preemptively because of the cross, because of his resurrection. He was releasing preemptive grace over them to be able to walk in a new way. See, he's released that grace to you. This is the gospel. These are the benefits. Remember, the gospel is the good news. The good news of what? The good news of the results of his death, burial, and resurrection. It's not the event itself. What did he accomplish on the cross? This is the benefit. I'm telling you right now. You don't have to live with your junk anymore. You don't have to live with that baggage. Man, some of you, you've had divorce after divorce after divorce. You can't figure out why you're continuing to choose the wrong guys. They seem great on the front end, but once you get into it, somehow they manifest something completely different. They take advantage of you, and there you are again, marooned to the same old stuff over and over again. But I'm telling you, Jesus carried that wound. He's carried it so that you don't have to live it anymore. But all of the benefits of the cross are apprehended by grace. See, it's a gift of God. And through faith, you need to first know you don't have to live with it anymore. And then you need to yield to the Holy Spirit and allow him to pluck it out so that those patterns of behavior no longer manifest in your life. Amen? And this really brings me to the next part here. The first part of verse 4 says, "And surely our sicknesses he himself bore." In the New American Standard, in fact, in all of the translations, they will translate it, or a variant of this, they will translate it griefs. I want to let you know that's a mistranslation.
Now, wait a second. Who are you? Are you a scholar? Like, how are you telling me that all of these Bible translations got it wrong?
I'm telling you, they got it wrong. This is the only place in the entire Bible that it was rendered griefs. In every other case, it's rendered sickness. Every other case. Still don't believe me? Take a look at Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 16 says, "When evening came, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed and he cast out the demons with the word, and he healed all who were ill." Come on, that's the kingdom coming right now. Verse 17, "This was to fulfill that which was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. He himself took our infirmities and he carried away our diseases." See, when you interpret the Bible, you have to allow the Bible to interpret itself. And the Bible, when it interprets this passage, he tells us that Jesus Christ literally took my sickness upon himself and he buried it in the ground and he released freedom to me. Freedom from COVID-19, freedom from cancer, freedom from heart disease. He's released it to you right now. It's a benefit of the cross, and you need to know that this morning so that you can contend for what is rightfully yours, because every benefit comes by grace through faith, and you can't have faith for something you don't know exists. But I'm telling you right now, the atonement scripture, it speaks of itself that Jesus Christ literally carried away your diseases on that cross that day, and he buried them on the ground. And I'm telling you right now, he's not giving them back to you. That's not who he is. Can you imagine Jesus going through the horrific torture that he went through only to reach into the grave and to resurrect something that he died for and then to release it to you for any kind of supposed reason? No, it's absolute nonsense. My God is not that kind of God. He's not abusive. My God is Jehovah Rapha. He's the healing God. See, he didn't have to include this in the benefits package, but he did. And I can tell you this, I am forever grateful that he did. I am forever grateful. Man, the first time I heard this message, started to get a hold of this and renew my mind through the hearing of the word, and faith started to build, I just fell in love with him all over again. Thought, oh, how good you are. How good you are. I don't have to live in sin anymore. Like, how good you are that I don't have to live with this junk that I've got on the inside of me anymore. How good you are that when I'm sick, you have already sent the package to me. You've already preemptively done something about it. How good is this God we serve? How good is this news of what Jesus did on that cross and subsequently through his resurrection? This, in fact, is good news. Come on. And this is the gospel that the Apostle Paul vehemently defended. See, the truth this morning is this. When Jesus died, he died for all of you. He didn't just die for part of you. What does that mean, that he died for all of me? Well, you're a triune being. That means you have three parts. Can one genuinely be made whole if all three parts aren't addressed? See, typically we've dumbed down the gospel of Jesus Christ to a spirit salvation. My spirit's been reconciled to Father God, and I will realize that when I die, become fully spirit, shed this body, in other words. when I die and I go to heaven where his abode is and I get to fellowship with him. Okay, that's the gospel. No, that's not the gospel. That's a small fraction of what he did. See, the gospel, the good news of what Jesus did, death, burial, and resurrection, the good news is that he addressed all of you, spirit, soul, and body. He addressed the whole package. You don't have to wait until you go to heaven to shed that sin that you've been living in. He's empowered you to shed it right now. You don't have to wait until you die to get healed. And that's the most absurd thing I've ever heard. You die to get to heaven. You don't get healed to get to heaven. You only need healing when you've got a body. That's only now. That benefit is for right now. You don't have to wait. In fact, it doesn't even make sense to wait. Healing is available to you right now. Now, you can access that benefit right now. And spirit, being reconciled with the Father in relationship, you can access that benefit right now. In fact, I would submit to you, much like healing, this is the only time that you can be reconciled to the Father. See, the Bible says that once we die, then comes judgment. There's no purgatory. There's no place where we get held up and they try to weigh out our good works or something to that effect and see whether or not we can get into heaven. No. It's all about Jesus. See, the Bible says the only way I get into heaven, the only way I get to the Father is through Jesus. What does that mean? By grace through faith. See, by grace, he's released to me the gift of the cross. By faith, I apprehend the finished work, spirit, soul, and body, right now. Why don't you pray with me this morning? Jesus, I know by nature of statistics that there are a number at the sound of my voice, not only now, but even as they replay this stream off into the future, who do not know you. They've believed that their good works would get them saved. They've believed lies. They thought maybe they would have a second opportunity after they've died to get to know you, but they've believed lies, God. The Bible says, choose this day whom you will serve. You can't wait till tomorrow. You can't wait till some point down the road. You can't. The Bible is full of examples. Let me first bury my dead. Let me first do this. Let me first do that. And Jesus rejected all of those people. There's no, let me first do this. Let me live like the world. Let me party. Let me do whatever I want. Let me get some things set up first, and then maybe I'll serve you. No. That's not how this thing works. There's serve Jesus or not serve Jesus. That's the option that you've got. And I'm calling you right now to this day serve Jesus. To give him your entire life, to reach up from the waters of life and to trust him absolutely with everything, with all of your being, wholly and completely. Remember last week we talked the word believe. That's what it means to trust him wholly and completely with your life. Jesus, we just say, you are the Son of God who came. Entered into Jerusalem that day, prophesied your own death at that Last Supper. You were the Lamb of God who was slain before the foundations of the planet. You were God incarnate. You took my sins and the sins of the world upon yourself. You buried them in the ground. You raised again on the third day, fully God. Now seated at the right hand of the Father. We believe you, God. And Jesus, we recognize, we think of that ocean analogy that we were out stranded in this piece of wreckage from our boat, looking no shore in sight, completely and utterly helpless. No amount of good work could fix the problem. No amount of good work was going to get me to the shore. No amount of effort on my part would get me out of the sun and out of danger from the sharks and allow me to paddle into freedom. Nothing that I could do. We were marooned. We needed a rescuer. God, we just admit we needed you, Jesus. And that's why you came. This morning, we want to commit our lives to you. Pull us out of that water, Jesus. We give you, we trust you. We trust you with everything. We give you our whole hearts. Everything. We've tried it our way. It hasn't worked. Give you our whole being, God, spirit, soul, and body. For those of you who are out the sound of my voice, even if you're sitting there right now, I want you to lay your hand. If there's a part that hurts or something that's damaged or broken in your body, I just want you to lay your hands on that part right now. We're going to pray for you. Because see, Jesus, he said in this word here, Isaiah 53, that by his stripes you were healed. He carried that sickness on that cross. Jesus, right now, we break the stranglehold of the enemy off of everybody at the sound of my voice. We break sickness right now in Jesus' name. I release healing, hope restored, and strengthening renewal to your body right now in Jesus' name. Not a progressive healing, a miraculous healing right now in Jesus' name. Everything that's in pain, no more pain right now in Jesus' name. Every infection in your body dissolved and restored to health right now in Jesus' name. Everything that's tweaked and out of alignment, back into alignment right now in Jesus' mighty name. Every person and every soul, God, we submit to you. Those, Father, I have addictions and issues that continue to entrap them and fall and plague them in their life and poverty, all this stuff. Jesus, we say, you carried our emotional pain on the cross. And right now at home, as many of those things maybe come to mind, why don't you just cast them at his feet? Just cast them at the feet of the cross. Nail them to the cross. That's where they stay. Addictions and pain, bad relationships, bitterness, anger, unforgiveness, drug use, fornication, sexual addiction. We lay it at the cross. We sever the influence of those things by the blood of Christ. And like Jesus, we say, go and sin no more. Be released into freedom not to choose those things anymore. And our spirits, we commit to you, God. Wholly and completely, we give you our lives, our very essence. We submit to you. We declare Jesus your Lord. We will obey you. We'll do what you say. We'll lay our lives down. We've tried it our way. We'll lay our lives down. We'll trust you, that we may be fully reconciled to all that Father God is, all of his names, all of his attributes, all of his character. We invite you, Holy Spirit, come. Come. See, the Bible says from the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit comes and he indwells you. We invite you, Holy Spirit, come. For those of you who may be out there who have made this decision, who have prayed that prayer for the very first time, or maybe you've even just rededicated, you're like, man, I've not been living for the Lord. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We want to know. We can't rejoice and give God glory for what he's doing in your household, in your living rooms right now, unless we know. It's kind of how the kingdom works, isn't it? We can't rejoice with you unless we know. Would you share on our live stream if you've given your heart to Christ? And we also want to partner with you. We'll partner for your success, because the Bible is also clear that we have a very real enemy, and he wants to come and steal the word that was sown in your heart this morning. We want to stand with you so that he would not be able to do that. And we can't do that if we don't know that a transaction has happened in your heart. Guys, thank you so much for joining us again. Happy Palm Sunday to you. I forgot. I couldn't think of it. Happy Palm Sunday to you. Share with your friends. Just a reminder, invite for Easter next week as we conclude some of these benefits of the cross, the benefits of the atonement, what has rightfully been paid and given to us because of the blood of Jesus. I want to remind you that this is the last week of our fast as well. You guys, you're doing so good. I know so many still fasting. This is it, man. This is the home stretch. So join with us tomorrow. I'm going to be doing worship and word and a little bit of prayer time tomorrow, 7 to 9, our very last session together. Just a plug for that. Join with us online. You know, pray it in. There's a lot of victory yet to win that was associated with this fast. Agree with us together. And Jesus, we bless those who are listening. We put a fiery hedge about them, their households, like the sense of the Passover. We plead the blood of Jesus over the thresholds of their doors, over the gates to our city, to our county. Father, we command COVID-19 and every body that's out there to be dried up and dissolved. We release healing and hope and restoration to you. For everybody else struggling, healing and hope and restoration to you. And we just say, this thing will not come nigh your dwelling. That's Psalms 91. He has your back. Contend for it because he's already carried it so that you don't have to. Amen. Have an outstanding week until we meet again.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to contact us or would like more information about our church or additional podcasts or resources, please visit us online at harvestwarrensburg.com. We hope to see you soon.